Father, we thank you in Jesus' name again that you've gathered us, and Lord, that you've caused us by your grace to rejoice in your Son. Thank you again for that beautiful Lamb. Thank you that he finished it. Thank you, Lord, that he finished it. Lord, thank you that the law and the ordinances have been nailed to the cross for us, Lord God. Thank you that whom you have made free is free indeed. Lord, we glory and thank you for the liberty that is in you. And thank you, God, that Christ liveth in me. God, we give you the praise and the thanks for that beautiful one. And thank you, Lord, that he's at your right hand this morning. And thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit that you've given, that comforter, Lord, that teacher and the one who guides us into all truth. And Lord, may the faith just be magnified and grown this morning because of the word of your grace, Lord God. Help it to build us up and to give us an inheritance this morning, God. The only hope is in you. And God, help us to abound in that hope this morning. God, help us to rise up out of the ashes, Lord God. Help us to be a people that would praise your name, Lord God. Help us not to, again, waste time, but help us to redeem time. And Lord, help us to, again, be a people that would be joyous and thankful, Lord, and to get excited about you, Jesus. Not to make a noise from ourselves, but Lord, a joy that bubbles up within. A joy of thanksgiving, a joy for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for the Lamb of God. We praise you for him today. Lord, may we magnify you in all things, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. If you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to Matthew chapter 27. That's Matthew chapter 27, and the Lord has encouraged my heart. We're going to rejoice, and I believe the most beautiful, the most triumphant, the most thrilling moment I really believe there has ever been. And praise be to God, it begins in the 33rd verse of the 27th chapter of Matthew. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it up in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." See, the Son of God would never come down from that cross. That's why he is the Son of God. He was holding that cross together and all the nails that were in him. Praise be to God. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." And he trusted in God. "Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. This was midday, folks. That sun was glaring and it got dark like that. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Telio, it is finished. Praise the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, that was it. That was the moment that transformed everything. The moment that Christ became the sin offering for you. Praise be to God. Once and for all. Sin, praise God, never to be remembered again. You see, year after year, the high priest would come in with that blood into the Holy of Holies and offer that and pour that blood out on that mercy seat. But no more. There was not going to be any more remembrance of sin. If you're a child of God here today, you are sitting there and there is no more remembrance of sin in your life. So get rid of that thought. He doesn't think about it. Why do you? Come on now. All the guilt, all the shame, all the sorrow. Praise God, power over sin and death. It was going down and it went down right then. You're free. You're clean. You're washed. You're accepted. The atonement has been made. Come boldly, honey, to the throne of grace. It's yours. It's been given. The veil has been written twain. Come on now. Let's fellowship. Now, brothers and sisters, here he was. And praise God how the song and all of the orchestrating of the Spirit here today. He was battered and bruised. His visage, it said, was marred more than any man. He became the worm on the cross. And I love that he did it all because of the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. I'll define that for you. You. He saw you. And there was nothing that was going to keep him from that cross. There was nothing that was going to stop him because of that joy. It was a magnet that drew him. Yeah. I believe he's taking you there right now. Now, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of Jesus. That's the beauty of Jesus. You see, it wasn't Jesus the healer, Jesus the prophet or the teacher, the beautiful picture that maybe you have up on the mantle of him, or Jesus the one that would walk on the water. Oh, no, the beauty of Jesus was and forever will be the Lamb slain on the cross. That's the beauty of Jesus. That's what he embraced. That's what he took so freely. That was the ultimate victory that he would cry out as we just read, Tielio, it is finished. And never a moment that will ever compare to that. The power was unleashed at that very moment. Father, I've done it. I've finished it. Here come the sons to glory. Could you imagine the Father? Oh, the thanksgiving and the praise. Oh, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I've brought him. I've drawn him. I've died for the sin of the world. Oh, the joy I have in doing it. Oh, the sorrow and the grief and the pain. Bring it on. He loved it. He knew that was his. That was for him. That was his calling, his purpose. He was never going to come off that cross. If they wouldn't have put him on there, he would have jumped up on there himself, and he did anyways. God's going to have to constrain me here, I'll tell you what. But that's why he went to the cross gladly, because of the joy. It was an intoxication of love that he had for you and that he has for you. I was thinking of this. It was as if he was whispering to my ears at that very moment. Honey, I'm going to finish it. Honey, it's going to be all done. And brothers and sisters, it was so wonderful because he had to go there alone. Completely alone. Completely and utterly alone. Being made sin for us. Only the Lamb will ever know that. Only the Lamb could do that. Only the Lamb could open up his arms and embrace the full wrath, the full judgment of God, the anger, the stripes. As it says, by his stripes we are healed. And only he will know, brothers and sisters, the grief and pain and the agony like none other. When he cried out with what we read, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou left me alone?" Brothers and sisters, only he will ever know that agony and only know that pain. And I believe that far beyond the agony and the pain, brothers and sisters, of the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet and his precious pierced side and even the wrath and the anger and the stripes that he received, the most severe torment was that he was alone. He was alone. The Father turned from him. The Father could not look upon that sin. It was the most beautiful of all moments there will ever be. It had to be that way. But only he could enter into that. That is something only he will ever know. Only he knows what it means and what it is to become and to be made sin. We will never face that. He took that upon himself. He so freely entered into that, brothers and sisters. As it said in that sixth hour, it became dark. He was separated from the very presence of God, the abyss, the loneliness. And he took that. And I can only think of the sorrow and knowing the separation and the forever loneliness and the isolation from God, and he took that upon himself so that we would never, 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 never be alone. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care what you've ever been through. As a child of God, you are never alone. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am so grateful to God that he cannot deny himself. For Christ liveth in me. David was able to even rejoice in it as he said, "You know what, Lord, even if I made my bed in hell, thou art there with me." See, get rid of your dirty self-righteousness. Quit thinking, well, you know, you could separate yourself from the love of God if you did this, or if you could pull yourself away from... No, you can't. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. He cannot deny himself. It's the seed that remaineth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm here to praise you today, that in all my unbelief, even through all my disobedience, dear God, even in my defiant ways, even when I believe not, thou abideth faithful. That's the praises his father loves to hear. That's the praise that his father so loves to enjoy. It's because, behold the Lamb, Father, that's why you call me son. That's why I'm here before the throne of grace. Because of the blood of your son. Because your grace touched me to call upon his name. Jesus, I need you. I need a Savior. I believe that thou art the Son of God. And in that moment, that transforming moment, dead in my trespasses and sin, and now out of the dung heap. Hallelujah. And a son of the living God. That's grace. See, if there was anything that you could do or that I could do that would have amounted any favor with God, why would he have given his son? Why would he given his beautiful son to come and to be so disparaged and torn? That crown of thorns upon his head, mocked, spit upon, beaten. Why would he have him to receive the fury of his wrath as he hung there? To turn from him and to become the worm for you. If there was something that you could do that would have given favor to God for yourself. Oh, I'm so thankful for Jesus. He did it all. You sit there today, and I don't know what you're thinking right now, but you know what? I know he does. I know he's brought you to a place this morning that he's calling out to you. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of your sin. You will meet God someday. You will meet God someday. Everybody will meet God someday. And someday, yes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But he's pleading with you. He is calling. Now is the appointed time. There's no more convenient time. As Paul preached there in Rome, and that man said, "Oh, thou almost persuadest me." No, almost doesn't get it. A more convenient time could be too late. He's here now. Now. And thank God I'm rejoicing in that blood. Even more powerfully and marvelously and more wonderfully and more lovingly than the day that he gave it to me. That made me clean and holy and righteous. And clean, holy, and righteous as I will ever be. I will never be any more clean and holy and righteous than the moment that I said, "Jesus, come into my heart." I will never be more a son than that moment that I was born of God, when I said, "Jesus, come into my heart." I will never be any more in his hand from the moment I said, "Jesus, come into my heart." Now that's the beginning of knowing the love of God. That's the simplicity of the love of God. The Father gave you everything. He gave you his Son. That was everything he had. And he gave him to you. Now, we'll wrap it up. From ages past, I want you to know this, that your Jesus, he looked forward to this moment that we just read about more than any other moment he could ever look forward to. He caused the prophet Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, I'll just read these things to you. He caused Isaiah to write of this some 700-800 years before he would be born. It said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." That's you! That's you he's speaking of right there. Put your name in there. Oh, Jesse, I will bear your iniquities. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesse, I have been nailed to the cross for you. Now you understand, brothers and sisters, that cry upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That wasn't distress. Oh no, that was fulfillment of the Father's glorious will. See, not only did he know what was to come, he embraced it. I want you to see this morning. He wants me to see it like I've never seen it before. He embraced it. Oh, the suffering was there, but the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It was raining that day. Father, I'm going to the cross. They're going to nail me down. And I'm going to hold myself up on there. Hallelujah. And praise be to God, I'm going to be made sin for them who knew no sin. I'm going to enter into the depth. Oh, praise God. Yes, Father, you will turn from me. I know this. But I'm doing it gladly. They can't see it. But oh, my heart is rejoicing. Oh. Brothers and sisters, I can't let you out of here without reading your scripture. John 10:17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." See, the Father loved him because I lay down my life that I may take it again. See, no man takes it from me. That's why he had to give up the ghost. They couldn't even kill him. This is very God of very God. He had to give it up. He had to enter it in. You got to understand this. He did this. Oh. Oh. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And this, Jesus knowing, after this Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Oh, he was thirsting for something, all right. And he was drinking it up. Oh, I'm glad you're smiling. Oh, I'm glad you're smiling. With tears in your eyes, you're smiling just like Jesus. "Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put hyssop upon it and put it to his mouth. down to the details is our God. Nothing gets by him. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, brothers and sisters, that's what he did for you. That's your Easter Sunday. That's your everyday. I have Easter all the time. No wonder there's rabbits all around my house, huh? I'm not going to get mad at them ornery things anymore, am I? Oh, my goodness. But brothers and sisters, this is what he did for us, and it wasn't out of duty. See, it wasn't out of a duty. It wasn't just because, well, my father said it and I must do it. This was because of love. And love broke forth on that cross like no other time. See, it was love that caused him to do it willingly. It was love that made it a joyful thing. It was love that made it a glad time for him. It was love that finished it all. That death upon the cross, that the sons would come to glory, that the fruit would rise up out of the ashes. Praise be to God. That's what he's done for you, and that's what he wants you to live. That's the power of his resurrection, brothers and sisters. When he draws you into this, brothers and sisters, and he gives you these sufferings, and he gives you that need, praise be to God, you're entering into this. This is the sufferings with Christ. This is what he's called you to. Amen. Oh, Jesus. While every head is bowed, Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, how freely that you love us. God, I thank you that your Son so willingly and gladly embraced that cross and died that death that, praise God, in Jesus' name, we will never know. And Lord, I'm thankful that you've shown us today that it was by that cross that was the greatest way that you could tell us and show us, honey, I love you. I love you more than anything. I love you more than anything. Lord, draw us into that this morning. God, cause that love to change hearts in this place today. God, that your love and that your power is willing and able. God, it does. It's the need for anything we face. It's the need for everything we face. The cross. The beautiful cross. Lord, thank you that you've drawn us there this morning. God, help us to just remain there and abide there, just like Mary at his feet. She was at the feet of the cross. Lord, help us today to just anoint your feet with our tears. God, right now, cause hearts to break. Lord, if there's somebody out here that doesn't know you as sinner, God, break that heart right now and let them say, Jesus, you're my Savior. Lord God, in the power of your love right now, if there's a hard and stiff-necked heart of a child that's out there of God today, Lord, let them say, Lord, Jesus, hallelujah. Let your love transform this morning. Lord, we need more of the love of God. We need more of the love of God in our lives. God, this is a perverse nation. This is getting to be such a hateful world because they have turned from Jesus, and you told us it would be so. But God, let this not come into our homes. Let this not come into our place of worship, God. Let our fellowship in our workplace, Lord, in our homes, in this place, let it be in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank you again for what you've done. We thank you that we are your workmanship. Thank you, God, that it is grace and grace alone. And Lord, thank you again that you finished it all upon that cross. That it is done. It is completed. It is a finished work. And thank you, Father, that it's in that faith that you are well pleased. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.